Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, if you're having withdrawals, I mean, last week, man, what a lineup. 3 days of live shows from the SHOT Show in Las Vegas and John Jackson, the Joker from X, sidekicking with us for every minute of it. So I know you're probably having withdrawals. We need more Joker. Well, he's back with us in studio here on this Tuesday. John, thanks for sticking around. Great to see you again.
Absolutely. Anytime, Aaron. Just recovering from Las Vegas here. You know, I'm happy to be talking on the radio when the sun is out.
It is nice to have the sun up right now. I even noticed that even before 8 a.m. I was like, wow, the sun is already shining. It's like winter feels like it just got started, but the sun is starting to come up earlier and earlier every day, and that's a good thing. Well, the sun is shining over CNN this morning, apparently. So, Kelly in Glasgow, why not have some fun talking about some good news here as we kick off the statewide show? Kelly in Glasgow, he has the buzz up there. He's saying adios to CNN's Jim Acosta. CNN is reportedly set to leave the network following a reshuffle that saw his morning time slot replaced with a late night shift from midnight to 2 a.m. So apparently Acosta is on his way out at CNN. Did you see this Congressman Tim Burchett out of Tennessee? He was on with Jim Acosta and they got into this back and forth. And he's like, you know, Congressman, you can't just say whatever you want. This isn't Fox News. And Burchett in this southern drawl says, and that's why more people are watching the Cartoon Network. SpongeBob reruns right now instead of you. It's, oh, and then all of a sudden, the little magic reshuffle on Cartoon Network. I mean, the CNN, the Clinton News Network.
The beauty of what they did there was forcing him onto midnights, and it made him quit, which is great. Maybe because they don't want to pay out his contract or whatever, so they got him to quit. And if you guys don't remember who Jim Acosta is, he was the guy in a sea of media a-holes that did nothing but disrespect and bombard
That's a tactical term.
President Trump for his entire 4 years. Jim Acosta was their king. The Ron Burgundy of the White House press corps, who could not have been more disrespectful and more of a pompous, sleazebag psychopath than this guy. And he got rewarded for it. He got his own TV show after that. But then, obviously, now you're seeing here 4 years later, crash and burn.
Yeah. I remember running into Jim Acosta at a Trump rally at the Metra in Billings. And I thought, I'm going to go interview Jim Acosta. So I'm like, hey, what's it like being, you know, basically everything that you just described in nicer words? And I was like, you know, because people, man, you're like, you know, public enemy number one to Trump world. And he's like, yeah, like right there. Look at that. I look over. There's these two dudes that are going, hey, Jim. Let's just say they were making a phallic symbol with their hands with a forward backward motion. And they told Jim Acosta exactly what they thought of him. So that's the attempted a kid-friendly retelling of that story anyway. All right, we'll get back on the big news of the day right after this, taking your calls and more.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
John, this is very cool. One of our listeners was telling us about how Kristi Noem, you know, former South Dakota governor, I emceed an event with her and Tim Sheehy last summer in Great Falls, but she's now officially on the job as Secretary of Homeland Security. She's basically like doing a ride along, one of our listeners was telling us, and I just see the video now. Enforcement operation in New York City. Criminal alien with kidnapping, assault, and burglary charges is now in custody thanks to ICE. She added this, dirtbags like this will continue to be removed from our streets. So, yeah, she's basically out there on a ride-along right now and sharing some of her own video footage as she's on this ride-along. And once again, this is a reminder. You had a great tweet where you talked about the anarcho-tyranny that's making the point that it is now very clear that the Biden administration wanted all of these criminals in this country, because all these federal law enforcement agencies know exactly where these people are. That's why they're so quickly able to go out and get them right now with a new administration in charge in Washington.
You talk about Christy Noem being out there. Mostly, like all the operators out on the street, we do not want bosses anywhere near what we're doing, because they are going to manage to screw it up somehow, right? We don't want them in the middle of our business ever. But this is different right here because of the high profile of this, and just because of we're jumping off a massive, massive nationwide operation. See, I would like to have Christy Noem out there, or maybe like to have Tom Holman out there. You know why? Because it's backup for the troops and for their morale and everything. Plus, here's the biggie, is that the TV cameras now are going to be trained on them and not on me.
That's right.
You know, while I want to try to do my operation.
Well, and also, you know, when you have somebody like that come for a ride along with you, well, now you have their ear. So it's not, you know, the boss back at headquarters who's maybe trying to, you know, water down what he or she is saying, or, well, I don't really like what John, you know, told me in that briefing the other day. So, well, now they don't get the filtered message that goes through all the bureaucratic channels. They're hearing directly from the agent on the ground.
Oh, and let me tell you something. That's a good point you make right there, because the bosses are not stupid. And I know people that have, you know, done these type of ride along, say, with a senator or with a big shot from D.C., and you get told right away from your hire, do not say a GD thing to this person, okay?
Well, and if the boss is smart, they'd be like, you know, we're not going to put him in John's car. We're going to send him with Billy instead. We're not going to put him in John's car, because I don't know what that guy's going
to
say.
Trust me, bro. I knew when to keep my mouth shut. And that's one of those things where, say you're riding around with Senator Conrad Burns or whatever it is. Yeah. That's what you say. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're very happy with all the support we're getting from Washington and all the support we're getting from Denver. Yes, sir. Absolutely. You know, three bags full. You know when to play it cool.
As that electric cattle prod is right on your backside, you know, ready to get you back in line if you say the wrong thing.
I don't want to be called in front. You remember Maverick, you know, got called in front of you. You will be flying a cargo plane full of rubber dog shift.
He said shift.
Out of Hong Kong. I mean, I don't want to get called on the carpet.
He said shift, just in case the FCC is listening. Adam Schiff. All right, let's go into the phone lines. 406-294-0970. Tom in Billings, what's on your mind?
I was just thinking of something. We're spending a lot of money sending prisoners to down south to house them because we don't have room in our jails here.
Yeah.
There's two places that could be looked at to do that. There's a jail down here that they built, the facility down in Hardin in use, or is it still sitting there gathering cobwebs?
They've got part of the facility, as I understand it, is under contract with the BIA. The Bureau of Indian Affairs is using it, so they've got folks that they're using the detention facility for. But what that tells me is that there's apparently another section of that facility that's wide open right now. That's why, you know, whether it's prison inmates here in Montana or a potential holding facility for some ICE detainees, that would seem to be a great option, even for something like putting these illegal aliens that might get rounded up by ICE here in Montana or the region too, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's already built. But we're spending money to build an addition on the jail down here in Billings for long-term prisoners. Why can't we ship them down to Hardin?
Yeah. Well, and that'll have a multi-pronged answer to it, is for anybody who's looked into that situation over the years. But just in general, it would seem to me, at the very least, that would be an ideal facility to hold some of these temporary detainees, illegal aliens that get rounded up. But then again, John, you may not even really need facilities to hold these illegal aliens, because it sounds like Donald Trump's getting their butts on a plane and out of here pretty quickly, isn't it? As Columbia would tell us.
If you're planning to do an op, I think you've already seen examples of that. You ought to have buses on standby, ready to go. If you know you're going to have a number that's beyond what, say, the local center can hold, or if you're going to have to hold them for, say, a couple of more days, right? Then you got to have buses on standby, ready to be headed south.
Yeah, speaking of deportations, Frank in Malta yesterday messaged me during the show, and he said he wants to get deported. He wants to get, there's all this talk about Native Americans getting deported, and Frank's Native, and he's like, I want to get deported. He's like, I want to go to Scotland. Would somebody deport me to Scotland? I'm like, Frank, you're a Malta Mustang. If you became a Scotty, they would disown you. You would never be able to go back to Malta ever again. I mean, you can't go from blue to red like that, man.
Brazil is very upset about the way their prisoners are being returned. You know, apparently they didn't get first-class seating in the plane going back down south.
See, I would have preferred a military flight, especially like a C-17 where you can lay out, yeah. You can, just bring your whoopee with you to stay warm. That's the only tip I'd add. More callers right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me see. We had some good messages that came in on our Montana Talks app here. John, yesterday I mentioned the resist graffiti that was spray painted on the Clearwater Cow. You know, the big cow, Highway 200, if you're driving up towards Sealy Lake from Missoula or, the Lincoln area, and then you head north, there's a big, iconic cow statue right there. Some left-wing wacko put graffiti on there that said resist, which, I'm wondering, has law enforcement questioned old Fussy Bussy yet? Because that was his first tweet after losing the governor's race, was resist. But, man, very clearly the radical left is still fully engaged here in Montana and trying to resist this effort to secure our borders. I mean, they packed the house at a Yellowstone County Commission meeting yesterday. They're tagging up the Clearwater Cow and more. So, folks, this is my take anyway. Don't just sit back and say, oh, it's so great, President Trump's in office. Don't take anything for granted, because the radical left is going to do everything they can to undermine all of this.
Yeah, and that's what we've been talking about a lot on Twitter and on Spaces and the podcast, is that's what they want to do. Their effort right now, as we sit here right now, there is a honeymoon, you would call it, right now with President Trump, where they know that the American people elected him not only with the popular vote, but with the Electoral College, and they want his agenda implemented. But see, now they want to do right now in this first couple months is end that honeymoon as quickly as they can, to turn everybody, infect everybody that they can with the Trump derangement syndrome. And funny how your boy Bussy there, old Fussy Bussy, hey, did you see how when he was back running for governor, his tweets would get all this engagement and crazy engagement out there on Twitter?
That he never got before he was running for governor.
That he never got before.
That's because he used his campaign to prop up his social media engagement. And so now he'll still get the social media engagement as a residual. So it was a total grift.
No, that's the thing. As soon as he stopped, as soon as he lost by 21 points or whatever that was, now he doesn't get it anymore.
Oh, interesting.
Because it was all AstroTurf. It was all fake.
Yeah, he's still getting more now than he used to, though, because, like, he's trying to gin up all this controversy about, ICE deporting Native Americans. It's like, oh, come on, man. Like, first off, you're a climate alarmist. You're a gun control activist. I mean, you lost the governor's race by 21 points for both of those reasons. But now you want to undermine our efforts to get illegal aliens out of this country, too. I mean, just beyond three strikes. Evan and Belt sent us a message on the Montana Talks app earlier this morning. The left will resist while conservatives will restore. And it will be profitable for even the Bussies of this world. They figured out how to profit on trying to create chaos and undermining our ICE agents, et cetera. We had a really good, kind of related to this, John, we had another great question that came in. This came in from Morgan in Helena. This came from Morgan and Helena. So there was a story that KTVQ Television reported here. The superintendent of schools in Billings, School District 2 superintendent, outlines procedures if ICE agents show up at school. So what if ICE agents show up at schools while they're investigating these illegal alien cases, right? Anyway, Morgan asks this question. Is the Billings principal who sent out instructions about how to avoid ICE aiding and abetting illegal activity? I think if you read the full story here, I don't think that's what Superintendent Garcia is doing here. Now, what was his intent to publicize this memo, or did he just send out the memo just in case? You know, either way, I think if you read his actual memo, he is saying, he is telling school officials, hey, if ICE agents show up and they have a valid warrant, you can't just turn them away. So I don't think he's giving them instructions for how to avoid ICE. I think he's just outlining what the procedures would be should that occur. But we know there's a lot of legal aliens, and there's so many non-English speaking students in the Billings schools that they created a whole charter school just for non-English speaking students.
Well, and let's clarify something here too as well. The public schools, particularly the public schools, that's not your home, okay? And your principal is not the owner of it, and the teachers are not the owners of it. The people are the owners of it. And law enforcement can go on those grounds anytime they feel like it without a warrant. They do not need a warrant to go in there. So this notion that they have some, that they have to have some kind of warrant to go in there, they do not.
Well, there was an interesting case, obviously, I think this was in Harrison, Montana, too, where a school superintendent tried to deny entry to a Montana DCI agent who was conducting a criminal investigation on one of the teachers there, and tried to deny this DCI agent from being able to question some students, and led to a huge controversy. The parents were mad at the school superintendent for interfering in this investigation because they had concerns about this member of the staff, right? And she ended up getting arrested for, you know, obstructing the investigation, basically. So
exactly.
So similar could apply here if somebody did try to stand in the way of an ICE investigation. But it's also worth pointing out here, look, we know there's illegal aliens in this state. We know there's many of them that are committing crimes. We know that there's some that are not committing additional crimes on top of being illegal aliens. Right now, ICE is not going after your run-of-the-mill illegal aliens that might be on a roofing job in Billings, Montana, right? But eventually they will. Eventually they will. And eventually they should.
And a key point in our push against the illegal alien invasion is the cost that these people suck out of our bankrupt country every year in the hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars. And you know where a big place where that is sucked out of, Aaron, is our school resources. They are coming in here and getting free educations and free language training and all of this, all at our expense.
And that's because,
and it ain't right.
And that's because these schools, they have to provide an education for any child, like that are here, regardless of status, legal, illegal, regardless of status, regardless of language. So like it or not, that's the law, which is one more reason. Yeah, you're exactly right. Here we have schools that don't have enough resources. They don't have enough security cameras across school district too. But yet they create a new charter school for non-English language speaking students because so many so-called refugees and, you know, were dumped here basically and more.
And you remember what that guy said when he was talking about that charter school, that same guy, Garcia? Remember he said how they're going to have to be taught, these were Middle Easterners, I believe Afghans, they're going to have to be taught about our culture and how to treat women.
Mm-hmm.
Let me translate.
And he wasn't wrong when he said that.
Let me translate that for you. That means we have to teach the savages not to beat and rape women because that's part of their culture.
Remember, there was an Afghan parolee who was accused of raping an 18-year-old young woman in Missoula. And just Sunday morning, now there is a man accused of rape and kidnapping charges in Bozeman, Montana, who is on an immigration or ICE hold right now. And this isn't the first time, and it's likely not the last time unless we get these illegal aliens out of this state and out of this country. You were talking about Afghanistan. Did you see how much of our taxpayer dollars were spent handing out free condoms in Afghanistan? I didn't even want to bring this up because, guys, you know it. John is the Joker from X. It's always the most unwoke hour of the week whenever he comes in here anyway. Unwoke jokes, unwoke commentary. That's all part of the fun. But the jokes just tell themselves on this one. I mean, our own government wasting millions of dollars to hand out condoms in Afghanistan.
I want to know something. Now, did this $15 million arrive in, you know, three plane loads of Trojans, or, you know, what exactly? Because if it didn't, because either way, those things got thrown right in the trash. And if the $15 million arrived as a form of cash, you know, for them to buy these contraceptives, they'd put that money right in their pockets. Are you freaking kidding me?
And the goats were scattering.
Daddy.
Oh, good night. But, man, you talk about waste in government. I mean, one of the other beautiful things that the Trump administration is doing right now. Caden, is that somebody new on line three? Or if not, you can just scrap that call so I know we don't have somebody waiting. I don't want to keep somebody waiting. So, yeah, if you can either cut that call on line three or if it's somebody new, just tell me who's on the line so I can get to it here. And then we'll get to Matt in Columbia Falls here in just a second. So speaking of waste in government, now I got to go look and see what I sent to you to see how much money they wasted on condoms for Afghans. Although then again, you know, there's a lot of people in Afghanistan we'd rather are not creating more people. So I'm all about the birth control on that front here. Oh, $15 million, John Solomon, justthenews.com. The Biden administration spent $15 million in taxpayer funds to distribute condoms in Afghanistan. The other good thing that the Trump administration is doing across the whole of government is finally, once and all, putting a complete halt to all this DEI garbage, all this diversity, equity, and inclusion garbage. Fox News had this story this morning, John. This is crazy when you think about the total cost here. So the Department of Veterans Affairs, they had 60 employees focused on DEI, 60 DEI employees in the Department of Veteran Affairs.
Oh, my God.
And you think about all the problems in the VA, but, oh, they've got 60 DEI employees. Their salaries alone, when you take those 60 DEI employees in the VA, total more than $8 million. $8 million just for the salaries of these 60 DEI employees. That's $8 million that can be going to veterans' health care, veterans' benefits, you name it, right? A new clinic somewhere, whatever.
Well, they've already had to place people at the USAID on admin leave, basically kick them out of the office now, because they were plotting over at USAID to subvert President Trump's orders about funds and the DEI programs.
All right. Matt in Columbia Falls, you will be first up right after the break. So stand by. We'll get to you. And then we've got more phone lines open right now. 294-0970.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
National Cattlemen's Beef Association and Public Lands Council are praising the U.S. House for passing the Acres Act and Fix Our Forests Act, both aimed at reducing wildfire risks and improving federal land management. The Acres Act, introduced by Republican Representative Tom Tiffany of Wisconsin, mandates accurate reporting on hazardous wildfire fuel reduction by federal agencies, addressing past discrepancies in U.S. Forest Service data. The Fix Our Forests Act, introduced by Arkansas Republican Representative Bruce Westerman, promotes livestock grazing as a wildfire prevention tool, limits frivolous lawsuits, and enhances measures to protect western landscapes. Cattle and sheep leaders emphasize the importance of supporting farmers and ranchers whose efforts play a key role in wildfire mitigation. The bipartisan legislation now heads to the Senate with hopes for swift approval ahead of the 2025 wildfire season. In livestock market news, across Montana's USDA livestock market reporting sale barns, feeder cattle prices saw steady to higher prices, with steers under 700 pounds mostly steady, with those over 700 pounds $4 to $8 higher. Heifers under 450 pounds were lightly tested, while those weighing 4.5 to 650 pounds were steady to $15 higher. Bred heifers averaged $2,750 up to $3,100 a head. I'm Lee Northland.
Get it.
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, hopefully Matt in Columbia Falls is still on the phone lines here. I saw a little blip. Looks like we got more folks ringing in right now. Matt in Columbia Falls listening to KJJR. Are you there? Hopefully so. What's on your mind?
Matt? Yes, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, great to hear from you.
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
We got you. Yeah, right. Go ahead.
Yeah, you guys did a great job of outlining the main impacts of illegal immigrants in our state and then started nosing into the more indirect impacts. Yeah, the indirect impacts, man, they're out there. There's a ton of them, you know, like you were saying, the draw on the education system. We've got a draw on our medical services, draw on our law enforcement, our first responders, our housing crisis. It's all there. I mean, clear down to, you know, the example I'll give is one of my own. I had a vehicle accident, and it's an ongoing investigation. I'm fighting back against it, so I can't get too far into the details. But had a vehicle accident, was hit by an uninsured, unlicensed driver, had a legal immigrant in the car. They were both drunk. They were covered in alcohol from it going all over the car when they hit me. And bottom line, you know, going through 8 hours of body cam footage, you know, multiple police officers identifying that illegal immigrants been in and out of their system for months. They don't want to deal with them. They don't want to deal with her. They don't want to deal with how combative they are. They know that they're not going to be able to hold them. They don't even want to talk, screen them to see if they're drunk. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I get hit with fault for the accident and end up losing my insurance policy, which I'm fighting everything right now, ongoing. But, you know, that's an indirect impact. And that's just one example of, you know, daily, you've got your mainstream impacts that you're talking about where you've just got everybody who's an illegal immigrant is at least a one-fault criminal. They crossed into our country illegally.
Yeah.
But
no, great point. There's a ton of
daily in our society.
A ton of second and third order effects. And I'll guarantee you there's people listening in Bozeman, Montana right now that are saying, yeah, we had a similar thing happen to us. I mean, we had two wrong way drunk drivers on I-90 in the Bozeman area, two separate cases. And it happened within like 2 weeks of each other last, I think it was November, December or so. And we've seen continued repeated instances where these illegal aliens are filling up our jails here in Montana. John, let's see, his call reminded me of something else too. I had a great interview a while back with the guy who helped track down Hunter Biden's laptop, and he was just at one of the speakers at a de Tocqueville conference back in Normandy, France, I think it was. And I said, well, what was the big topic of conversation? Because they had all these thinkers from all over the world, from various political persuasions. I said, how would you kind of sum up what the big topic of conversation ended up being? And he said, our focus of the conversation ended up becoming about the protected class versus the unprotected class. Matt in Columbia Falls is part of the unprotected class. Everyday American people just trying to do the right thing. The illegal aliens, as we've now seen, given all of these raids and operations that are taking place all across the country in the first week of President Donald J. Trump's administration now, are proof that all of these hardcore criminal illegal aliens, they have been the protected class for the last 4 years. Not any longer. We get to be the protected class, and the illegals and the people committing these horrific crimes get to be part of the unprotected class.
Another group that's got to be made a part of the unprotected class now, transferred from protected to unprotected, are all of these people out here in the business community that are employing these illegals. They know they're doing it. They're doing it because they can pay them less and don't have to pay all their benefits and all that. These people need to be put on the list, too. These people need to be targeted, fined, you know, whatever criminal penalties you can put on them. And also, we're going to have to cut off all the money, all that money that's putting them up in hotels and giving them meal vouchers and giving them phones and all that stuff. All that stuff's got to be shut off.
Yeah, that's why I think President Trump, I know you saw this on X earlier, he's basically frozen all federal grants and a lot of federal funding right now. And are there some good things that are probably being funded through grants and other things? Yes, and eventually that grant money will start flowing again. But I think given what's being done to undermine this country and using our taxpayer dollars to do so, funding these NGOs that are trafficking people across our border, I think he's got to put a halt to all of it. And then they'll slowly turn on that, the funding that needs to be turned on, and then put a stop to whatever needs to be halted. Selena Gomez, a lot of people have probably already heard this already. So she was a Disney pop star as a kid, big Hollywood, music celebrity too. So this went viral. She has since deleted this Instagram video, but seeing these raids that are taking place on illegal aliens, she just started sobbing in this Instagram video. Even though, no kids have been targeted. They're only going after the hardcore criminals right now. They're not even going after, all the rest of the illegal aliens yet. But here's what she said in this video.
I just wanted to say that I'm so sorry. Only people are getting attacked. The children. I don't understand. I'm so sorry. I wish I could do something, but I can't. I don't know what to do. I'll try everything I promise.
Good God,
they're not even going after. Now, eventually, families that are here illegally will be deported, but they'll be, as a family, go back to their home where they came from. And that will have to happen. That should happen. But right now, they're just deporting the hardcore criminals, right? And so, but she didn't shed those tears for the 350,000 missing children, which are most likely stuck as, sex trafficked kids right now. I remember we had a woman call in from Poplar on the Fort Peck Reservation maybe a couple years ago now. And she was telling our Attorney General, Austin Knutson, on the phone. She says, I've lost two sons to fentanyl. No tears from Selena Gomez for her and her family, for that woman in Poplar, as the people that are killing people on our reservations are finally getting deported.
Virtue signaling idiot celebrities that are fed a constant daily diet of MSNBC and CNN that have absolutely no clue what is happening in the real world of what they're talking about. It's really just kind of pitiful and embarrassing to watch.
We got Josh in Great Falls on the phone lines next. And I got to see Josh at the Montana Capitol just a couple of weeks ago. He came up and said hi. And yeah, if I remember right, Josh, you are Blackfeet. And so certainly you've been seeing the impacts of the drug cartels targeting our reservations in particular. Yeah, no tears from Selena Gomez for you or your brothers and sisters, huh?
Yes. One of the things I want to touch on is the paperwork that I gave you in regards to the promotion of suicide. If you look at SB 95 and the missing and murdered, all our Native representatives, these are the people that promoted this on their social media during the Bullock campaign. Tester campaign, and now they're jumping on these trying to fund their organizations, going into the communities white knighting, saying, hey, we're here to help you, but they're the cause of the poverty, they're the cause of the cartel being there, and they're the cause of the 80% of our missing and murdered. And what we want to do is we want to find out how much of that 80% is part of the transgender community, like S.J. Howell and S.K. Rossi, who's constantly in the Capitol promoting these perversions and, targeting our youth. So that's one of the things. If you look at the documents, after they promote it, people pay him like Patrick Uwalki. He's playing that he's a Blackfeet, but he's not. He's just like those transgenders, and he's the reason why the transgenders are in such force in the Capitol. And behind the scenes, if you look at Western Native Voice and this Indian Tribal Council, look at what they did to Sheehy. When they said the beer can you know, our race.
Yeah, what they tried to do anyway, and then they lost big time. Yeah. No, very interesting. So, Josh, thanks for the call. John Jackson, yeah. You know, you go look at the Facebook comments on KTVQ or the Billings Gazette. You notice the same people that are speaking the loudest about this transgender stuff, the same people that are pushing back against deporting illegal aliens, they're the same people spouting the same insanity on both tracks. And there's one word that will tell you why that is so. Intersectionality. They want to, these are cultural Marxists that want to divide Americans along every category possible, race, gender, socioeconomic status, or whatever, because they want to transform this country into something else. So they have to divide us all. They have to attack this country as it exists so they can transform it into their Marxist trash that they want to transform it into.
The king of it all, who started it all, as always, Barack Hussein Obama.
And, of course, these are Soros-backed groups oftentimes as well. Brian and Scobie, you're next.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're back. We might have to do that every time we come back. Who do we got a note from? One of our listeners in Hamilton, she got a kick out of your synopsis of the scattering goats. Best ever analysis. Gotta love the Joker. That was from Charlene in Hamilton. Now, we got a message on our Montana Talks app. They claim it's from Rico in Columbia Falls, but John, I would bet $20 it's some woke liberal white dude who's pretending to be an illegal alien.
Rico,
illegals still pay taxes. We're not terrible. I bet it's a woke liberal white dude calling himself Rico. $20, because I saw one message before from somebody claiming to be Rico in Columbia Falls, and it's like, if you're Rico, you're like Uncle Rico claiming you can throw the football over them thar mountains. So that's it.
Hello, this is the Aaron Flint radio show. This is it. Ernesto in Columbia Falls. I want to say that illegals pay taxes. Come on, dude.
Yeah, come on, man. Come on, man. You're a woke liberal white dude. Stop identifying as, you know, you can identify as another gender, but you're not allowed to identify as another race. That's
cultural appropriation.
Cultural appropriation.
Yes, it is.
Hey, let's go to Brian in Scobie, listening to KCGM. Brian, what's on your mind?
Well, you know, Aaron, I think a little bit of what's going on with the contemplation of the illegals being housed, or however you want to put it, in Yellowstone County, I think there's an opportunity here. First and foremost, any expenditure should fall on the federal government. This is a federal operation.
That's right. And it would. And it would, yeah.
It's their job. It's their situation. Okay? Now, bear with me here. Those people need to be housed. They're going to need to be fed. They're going to be taken care of. The people who are housing them and feeding them and guarding them are going to have to stay on the economy. They're going to be spending money, okay? And if we can draw this out, you want to say get rid of them, you know, real quick? I say, hey, draw it out for a while. Make somebody pay for this. Put this on the burden of somebody else, and you make it into a little bit of a cottage industry for a while. You get the bad guys first, okay? Fine. Then you go after, like you said, the roofers. Okay, we get them, we put them in there for a while, and then another cycle runs through. Maybe we go to the schools, find your parents, bring them through. This could work out pretty well, I think, for Yellowstone County. They might make a buck or two on it, providing that the federal government takes care of the bill.
Yeah, the problem is that you and I are the ones paying those bills as federal taxpayers too. But yeah, you know, it reminds me of
Yellowstone County. Come on, yeah. Come on. They can make a few bucks. Come on,
they certainly could. They certainly could. Yeah, yeah.
That's my thought. I'm thinking, just, you know, you got private prisons. Hey, let's make this work. Come on, let's get something together here.
John could be serving chow.
It's just an idea.
John could be serving the slop.
Give them MREs, you know, let them suffer through those things for a while, or whatever, okay?
Well, then the guy won't be able to clear out the porta-johns if you're feeding them MREs. You know, that might be a tough call for that guy, cleaning out all that Adam Schiff. John Jackson, your thoughts?
Well, you know, if you eat our MREs long enough, you're not going to have to go to the porta-potty anyway, so, you know.
It'll take a few days. Hey, on a serious note, though, again, back to this conversation about, you know, Selena Gomez, not just Selena Gomez, you know, shedding tears for the criminal illegals being deported right now, but even the liberal media that's spreading ink, trying to spread hysteria. Natives are scared they're going to be deported. Oh, give me a break. Native Americans are not going to be deported, you wackos. But shedding tears, spreading ink, either way, the hysteria, this applies to both of those aforementioned groups. Allie Beth Stuckey shared this via X yesterday. Just a reminder that an illegal alien burned a woman alive on the subway just a few weeks ago, and all your friends crying publicly about deportation said nothing. Nothing. And it was a homeless woman, I think, that ended up. All these people pretend to care about the homeless said nothing about a legal alien who burned that woman alive.
The number two issue on voters' minds going into the November election was illegal immigration and all the problems it's causing. Guess what, all you liberal a-holes out here? That topic has been decided. It got decided by the voters in November. We're going to do something about it like we promised we would. We follow through on our promises, not like you guys.
So Bill Malugin shared some updated numbers about the dramatic decline in illegal crossings at our southern border. Border Patrol recorded just 582 illegal crossings at the southern border yesterday, with not a single one of the nine sectors hitting 200. He says, I've never seen anything this low in all of my border coverage. And John, you made a great point, too, as you and I were chatting earlier this morning. All these stories about, well, they're worried that Native Americans are going to get deported. The benefit to that hysterical, sensationalistic reporting is that hopefully the message goes out to the drug cartels. Get the hell off our reservations,
exactly,
because there's a focus on the reservations. I thought that was a good point to share once again.
That's exactly it. Yeah, no Native Americans are going to get deported, but the people, the illegal aliens and drug traffickers that are hiding in their midst are going to get deported.
Hopefully they're getting that message loud and clear, and hopefully they're already moving off of our reservations right now as we speak.
Yes,
and these families that have been victimized and these communities that have been targeted and have seen an increase in crime as a result. All right, man, that just flew by. What do we got coming up Wednesday? Who knows? But we'll be taking your phone calls either way. Whether we have a big guest or just taking calls, we always try to make sure that you get a chance to be heard all across Montana. Follow John on X at PVTJokerUS.